Building Bridges of Opportunity, Migration, and Diversity. That was the theme of a roundtable discussion sponsored by the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See and the Pontifical North American College here in Rome on Thursday. The president of the Migrant Policy Institute, a Washington and Brussels-based think tank, Dr. Demetrios Papademetriou, was one of the participants at that event. Speaking to Tracy McClure on the sidelines of those discussions, Dr. Papademetriou said the economic crisis in countries like his native Greece has led many people to leave their country or consider emigrating to another nation, like his new homeland, the United States, in search of a better future.
That's very true. Of course, this has been at the, you know, sort of one of the roots of migration. Traditionally, from places such as Italy, the whole southern part of Europe, since, you know, the last 20 years or so of the 19th century. And that was probably the pattern until about the 1970s. And then very quickly, starting with Italy and then followed by Greece and Spain and Portugal and Ireland, very quickly these countries that had only known one form of migration, emigration, people leaving, and some of the retirees returning, all of a sudden became very significant in some place, sometimes very, very large countries of immigration, where the pattern was primarily of people coming in, as well as many of their people, you know, as citizens returning. So practically on a dime, on no time, but in historical terms, these countries became, you know, quickly, countries of very heavy immigration. To give you some example, places like Greece and Spain and Ireland, in a decade or decade and a half, had as many immigrants per capita, per head, as the United States has, which is a remarkable statement to be able to make.
That is pretty incredible.
Now, the people that left during this 70 or 100 years were people from the land, poor people, you know, primarily from villages, that went to another country to try to find opportunity, because ultimately that's what people look for. In the earlier stages, survival, and later on, survival plus opportunity, the sense that they can do better for themselves and for their families by going somewhere else. Now, a new phenomenon has emerged. First of all, those countries that very suddenly became countries of immigration are, in a sense, now returning back to their old norm, and they are becoming, again, significant countries of emigration. But this time, the people who are leaving these countries, my country of origin, of birth, Greece, Spain and Italy, of course, and many of the other places, what they're losing is young, very educated, very dynamic people who are really leaving because they don't think that there are any prospects for them.
Well, if you listen to any of the families, you know, with young kids, most of the ones that I know are really considering sending their kids abroad for college to England or to France or elsewhere, and suggesting that they go look for jobs outside.
And this is happening. And believe me, the interest in talented young foreigners in countries like the United States and the UK and, you know, Australia, Canada, and what have you, is very, very high, because what they see, my country, the United States, sees is an opportunity to actually have young, talented people educated in the United States or Canada or whatever, which means that they know the language, they have become acculturated, et cetera, et cetera, so they can ease into the society rather easily, and also bring in their education and talents to the service of the United States economy and society.
Sure.
That's great for the receiving countries. At some point, it becomes problematic for the sending countries, because in order for them to sort of turn back and go back into a path of economic growth, they need the very talents of the young people that they're losing today.
Well, in fact, here in Italy, it is a big debate, because so many of the big brains in the scientific and the medical communities are in the United States, and they're earning good money there. So the debate here has been, let's invest more in our young people, invest more in the scientific and medical sectors, just to name two, and get our kids to stay.
And this
but it doesn't seem to be doing the trick.
It is not doing the trick. And this is losing the best and the brightest is not a new phenomenon. It has nothing to do with the economic crisis. It has to do with the reward structure, particularly in the United States, the investments that, you know, private endowments and the government, et cetera, make into research laboratories and into creating and maintaining the finest research institutions in just about anything, medical sciences, et cetera, which makes it a no-brainer for an up-and-comer or already an established brain, as you say, to say, okay, you know, I have all the skills here, but I've reached just about my limit. And there are almost endless opportunities over there. So in this instance, it takes two to tango. Mm. You have to have conditions, you know, in places like Italy. And it happens with Germans and French and, you know, everybody else who basically say, yeah, I can wait here until I become 50 or 55, you know, and then I become a big professor with my own research lab, and et cetera. Or,
and you're probably only earning about 4,000 euros, if you're lucky, 4,000 euros a month, which would be about $5,000.
And you can go to the United States, you probably can quadruple or, you know, God only knows what the multiplier is, your income, your reputation sort of goes through the roof. There's plenty of money, you can experiment, and truth be told, a good probability that you're going to get a Nobel Prize, you know, if you do that. So, you know, it's almost a no-brainer.
Right. Well, so what is the answer to stem this immigration for economic reasons? I mean, what has the state got to do, and what do private enterprises have to do with this?
Well, you know, the state can create an environment in which private enterprise can actually have much more flexibility in how it conducts itself in the marketplace. And the state, of course, can make strategic investments. It's something that the United States says that it doesn't, but we do. But in Europe, very explicitly, you know, the governments do that. You know, the French, you know, sort of pick winners, you know, and they try to support them. The Brits, and, you know, appeal to philanthropists and also put money on the table in order to create those research labs, et cetera. This way their best people will stay there. So part of it is to think strategically about what kind of investments you need to make. The second one is to basically change the whole environment about the reward structure. You know, so if you're a very talented person, it makes no difference whether they are 35 or 60. You know, you basically create a system where people who are exceptional at the age of 35 or 40 can sort of get off of that path of $4,000 or euros, etc. And in the United States, sometimes when we're constrained from doing those things, universities, for instance, particularly public universities, can only pay up to a certain salary. But in order to keep or attract super talented people, they take money from their endowment. In other words, from philanthropists or previous graduates that give money to their alma mater, and they supplement that salary. So they still get paid only $6,000, you know, a month or $8,000 a month as a public employee in a state university, but they can double or triple that from private funds. So these are the public-private partnerships that one hears about, mm-hmm. and perhaps more of those need to happen in mm-hmm. Europe.
So what do you see the role of religion here, or perhaps of the Catholic Church?
Well, you know, certainly the Catholic Church provides the, you know, sort of the infrastructure that argues in favor of how, of treating people properly. You know, of creating, you know, strong families and maintaining strong families, all of which matter. Decisions to emigrate are not nearly as easy as I may make them, you know, sometimes. You know,
because conflict, war, a lot of other reasons contribute to it.
Exactly mm-hmm. right. So these are difficult decisions. So the more on this, you know, on the side of stain, you know, the more, you know, variables there are, that basically say, stay here. You know, you have a strong family. You know, you have, you know, a religion that matters to you. You have social institutions that are important to you, etc., etc. And you have a good job and prospects for doing very well in your field. The more you have of these things, the less likely it is that, you know, that the people will emigrate. But the truth is that increasingly we live in a world where people move, and the most talented people move most freely. And what used to be a monopoly of the United States is no longer a monopoly of the United States. We still have prohibitive advantages. But, for instance, the Super Collider, you know, in Switzerland, sure. which is a project in which everybody has put money,
CERN,
essentially attracts the very best physicists from anywhere, including the United States. So you cannot recreate CERN. You know, it costs hundreds of billions of euros to do that and in a long period of time. But the idea that, you know, collectively Europe can create these, let's call them centers of excellence, scientific excellence, whether they happen to be in Italy or elsewhere, the more likely it is that it will keep some of their superstars.